Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
He looks like he would stuff me into a locker and then stuff me after that. Like,
the
please.
Thickens.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you are gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and I'm so excited to have Jordan Barrow on the podcast this week, the first Black Bach on Broadway in Wicked, giving us such gorgeous tales from the Broadway stage, also beautiful laughs from the top to the bottom. I want to thank you so much for all the birthday love you gave me last week. So many great messages about Henry Russell Bergstein's episode, but also so many of you picked up merch, which really was a gift. If you want some more of that, you get your character actress sweatshirt at gayasspodcast.com, dropping some new designs soon, so keep an eye out for that. I do also want to say on my birthday, I spent it the actual day at my first ever Korean spa. Jordan and I do discuss that very experience, and yes, there were highs, there were lows, but spoiler alert, I will be going back. In this episode, Jordan not only gives us some BTS of Wicked and what he hopes for the casting of the movie, but also we talk the Dahmer documentary, some Beyoncé scoop, and just giggle till the end. Make sure you follow Jordan, follow the podcast at Gay Ass Podcast, and if you want to give me a birthday gift and you didn't do so last week, please press that subscribe button, or if you want to send this podcast to someone that you think would like it, that's really the best way to spread the word. So I thank you, I love you, and enjoy my Broadway baby beach. Jordan, this is a reunion, and I, dare I say, am chuffed to be talking to a Broadway legend, a hilarious, gorgeous man. Jordan, thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
Hello. Happy gay morning to you.
I do want to ask a controversial question, Jordan.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
Do we tell the girlies how we know each other? Do we go full on, no, we're just in the entertainment industry, or do we say, no, no, it's from a day job?
No, I think it's good for people to know that people are normal and did normal things and do normal things.
Thank you for saying the present tense of do, Jordan, because I may or may not be still at that job. Jordan, explain to the girls where we met.
So we met via Zoom, via a company called teambuilding.com, which is a company that hosts team building events IRL, but then they switched over to virtual market, and boy, was there a market because they blew up overnight.
Truly. And the rest is history. So yeah, Jordan and I, we were just like, I don't even remember the first time we met each other, but
Me either.
We just like worked together. And I have to say that I still work doing corporate events on Zoom and in person. And I, you know what? It's basically, I get to be silly for people that work at Microsoft. And you know what? I actually really enjoy it. Is that okay to say?
Absolutely. No, I enjoyed it a ton. I mean, it was a good gig and I met lots of people like you. And I feel like it was for one, we are paid well for doing it. So your time, your money, and you get to work from home. And I'm that weird person who I don't mind the small talky thing.
Right.
You are as well.
I mean, I actually think the job has made me better at small talking. I was at a gay bar last weekend, and as long as
you have
an opening, I found to create a sport of it. You know, I find that if you get a good opening question, and because of our ability to small talk, I met a very charming man on Saturday night, and he was game to small talk. And unless you talk to a wet noodle, usually you can get some good stuff out of it.
Yeah. And that's what I think I liked about it, too, is that you get into the room and some days you're with literally, if it was like a gay pride event, it'd be, oh my gosh, I'm here with my people. Mm-hmm. Or if it was Black History Month, I mean, it was always, I never felt weird. And then there were some days you get on, they're like, we're all in Belgium and it is 10 p.m. at night and we don't even like each other. I'm like, all right, this is a battle for
Let alone gay people. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny that you were working for this company and then overnight you disappeared. And then I saw you on Broadway about 4 seconds later. I was like, sure. Which, speaking of Jordan, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to spend too much time thinking about your answer. Jordan Barrow, besides your current Elphaba, who is your favorite Elphaba in Wicked Herstory?
Oh, that's, for me, Shoshana Bean.
Come on,
never
Shoshana.
Got to see her. Yeah, never got to see it live, but that, I think, is when I fully gave in to my Wicked obsession.
I think I'm the same way. I mean, there's just Shoshana Bean, and don't you think that she's having a delayed gratification of her career? Don't you think she should be an Oscar winner by now, or at least a Tony?
Absolutely. It is very strange in that way. I feel like she keeps blowing up, but I think that's how this business works anyway. You become famous to one group of people and you keep going.
Right,
and
it's... Right.
So I actually met her for the first time. A lot of people in my life know her because she was in Waitress with friends of mine. And I met her at, I did the AIDS walk this summer and she was one of the presenters. I was a presenter and we didn't get to talk much, but I was like, hi, I just want to just introduce myself, and I was like, I'm Jordan. I mean, she goes, I know who you are. I said,
Shoshana Bean knows who you are.
The gasp. I was like, she's like, say hi to everyone at the Gersh. And I'm like,
Oh my God.
I was like, can you come hello. Back for one day?
I mean, can you imagine? I can't even put my finger on right now, like all my favorite Shoshana Bean riffs, but they didn't she originate so many of the ones that people obsess over now? I feel like she did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of crazy because I don't know who was in charge of Wicked at the time, but the things that she was doing just would not fly now. So it's just very, I'm like,
talk about a no-fly show. Didn't she create the Fiero? Didn't she do the full upper?
Up. Yeah. Way up. And I wish I would be just listening in the monitor, not more than I already do, because
right
now we have another very, very great Elphaba. I've been very fortunate to have really great Elphabas, but that's also Wicked.
Broadway. Do you hear, are there like rules, like very strict rules about what type of riffs the Elphabas are allowed to do?
Yeah. Yes.
Obsessed with the like red tape of Wicked. Ugh, I want a true crime documentary about what Elphabas are allowed to do in terms of vocal freedoms.
Yeah, there are definitely rules. I remember with Lindsay Pearce, there was one day she did something, I don't even remember now, and I texted her after the show and I was like, that tonight, like, you gave it to me. And she was like, yeah, I'll probably like get a note tomorrow to not do it again. I'm like, okay.
At least it's a note and not losing her job.
Well.
But that's how much of a rule follower. I'm not even joking. Like, I am proud to say that Matt and I are in couples therapy, and we are very we're enjoying it. It's like, it's, of course, difficult, but so necessary. And I think what's really interesting about it, if not without getting too deep into it, is that so many of us grow up as such intense rule followers, and like, we're afraid of like the world ending if we do anything outside of the realm of what is allowed. And I think because Matt grew up a Catholic Georgia Southern closeted gay person, that's real. I have it too, just like being a perfectionist, but he has it even more so. And so I think, of course, like my brain goes to if like your Elphaba is gonna add a little sass to a riff, I'm like, well, she's gonna get fired, right? And you're like, it's a note. I think that we need to be allowed to break some rules, because otherwise playing it safe ain't gonna get you anywhere.
And that's exactly it. I mean, the show survives because I think people do want to keep coming back and seeing these new renditions of these iconic songs. So there's leeway, and there are vocal qualities. Like our current Elphaba, Talia, she does, her voice is outrageous, but she does lots of different things. Like she can almost yodel in some days. I'm like, and they obviously allow her to do that. I'm like, yes, please. Like,
I want to do Rose and Thorn. You famously auditioned for Wicked about, what was it, 58 times? And
yeah.
And so you, after many years, you book the role. You're the first Black Bok on Broadway in Wicked. You are so fucking talented. It is about damn time, as they say. However, now that you're on Broadway in a huge show, what is your rose and thorn of the experience? Best, like, your the thing that, like, was your favorite, is your favorite part about being on Broadway? And then, not the thorn of, like, the worst part, but just, like, what was different or more difficult or just not what you thought it might be or what people might think it is to be in a big Broadway show?
Yeah. So the rose is obviously getting the job was insane because it happened so quickly. I auditioned on a Thursday. I remember I was speaking to someone at team building and I was like, yeah, I'm going back in for Wicked and it's on Thursday. She was like, oh, that's great. I hope it happens. I'm like, yeah, well, the rehearsals start on Tuesday. So if I don't hear anything by like Friday. And then I think I worked again Friday, heard nothing. And then I was like, okay, so I didn't get it. It was so, and then I booked it Monday morning. So that, yeah. So that is that.
And then you started a rehearsal the next day?
The next day. Yeah. The next day, actually, me and my boyfriend, they gave us tickets to see the show. And then I started Wednesday.
Oh my, I cannot imagine you and your, first of all, very handsome, lovely boyfriend, seeing Wicked, knowing that you were about to be a principal in the show.
From like eighth row.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Lots of tears.
Squeeze
quite a
your
rose.
Boyfriend's hand. That is a rose. That is a rose.
That and then also just being there. I remember it was a really, really good show. So that was also, and that has been a rose throughout the whole thing, is that I'm in a show that people really want to come and see and support and sell out fairly often.
I have to tell you, I saw the show before we moved to LA. I think it was devastatingly like a couple months before you were in it, and I saw it with my parents who were in town for their like final trip to visit before we left New York. And I hadn't seen it since I was in eighth grade. First of all, I not only was having like nostalgia tears, but I was also understanding more of the plot than I ever had before.
Well.
She's a little intricate. I forgot the ups and the downs. I have to say, before I say this, I have to hear your thorn. What's your thorn?
So the thorn, I guess, is that it is a busy schedule to keep and you have to keep excited about being there and doing the show. Prior to Wicked, I had only done a show. The most I'd done anything, I think, was like 55 or 60 times at a show I did in Canada. So I believe tonight is my 290, like, third show.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It would be higher, but I got COVID twice.
Sure.
So, yeah. So it's that, I think, is it's to be expected. Like, oh, yeah. But I think with the long-running show, it could be a little bit harder because you do have to uphold integrity even more than you would on a show that's been open for 9 months and you're figuring things out 9 months in. Mm-hmm. 9 months in, we're rehearsing because we need to be reminded of things and you're like, oh my goodness, I have to keep this exciting for myself and for them. And so that it's hardly a thorn, but it is just, it's a stamina. It's a
of
mental
course, but
stamina.
Also doing anything 300 times is going to be difficult no matter what, even if it's like a dream job, which is what you have. But I think that is such, I don't think many people realize how grueling Broadway theater performers have it. Like I remember you retweeted something that it's like Broadway performers are athletes, and it is a 100% true fact. My back was never more fucked up than when I was on tour doing Elf the Musical. I swear to God.
Absolutely, and your back would be real toe up on the Gershwin because it is a rake stage.
I hear the rake is devastation nation.
I didn't know that when I got the job. I think I didn't know it until about the fourth rehearsal. They were like, well, when you get onto the deck with the rake, and I was like, what do you mean with the rake?
I beg your pardon?
What do you mean? That should be in the breakdown. When you like, hey,
just to let you know, if you book your dream job, you will have to stretch out your psoas every other hour.
Every day.
I'm famously married to someone who is an eighth grade girl, a fan of Wicked. I'll be like on the toilet, sorry for the reference, but I will be on the toilet and I will hear Elphaba riffs every other Tuesday. Matt, he is obsessed. I've heard about the rake stage. And to this day, and I love him for it, but I feel like I keep up with the Wicked world more than the
Just
average.
Through him
and more than the average homo.
Hey, well,
Well, you did retweet something that about bringing Nessa to the red table, because someone says, and this is about the plot of Wicked that I was really, when I saw it, I was like, hold the phone. This person tweeted, I think the fact that Nessa Rose enslaves an entire race of people to keep the boy she likes from going after the woman he really wants is an under-discussed and under-remembered but incredibly significant part of Wicked the musical. Nessa.
Listen, Nessa.
I've got something to confess, hon. You're canceled. There's so many parts of the show that's like dark days.
It is. And I think I forget that when I was obsessed with it. And now doing it when we rehearsed the show, we had a rehearsal 2 weeks ago. We had 2 days of rehearsal with our associate where we sat around for several hours and we'd read the script. Or we just did the script sitting around and redoing beats and just getting back to the words. And I remember there were some moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like this show, this could be, if in different hands, this could have been a very, very like even heavier, dark show where they are, and the ladies are often crying and stuff like that. And there are tears that are held because the show is deep for sure. But there are moments with Miss Nessa, especially, I'm like, this is, we need to bring Nessa to the red table. She's got some things to explain
to answer to. Yeah. I know. I really, and also just like the beautiful and devastating connections to the Wizard of Oz, of like how all this to say, Stephen Schwartz. Wait, who wrote the music? Who wrote the book?
Winnie Holtzman.
Winnie. Come on, girl. We love you, and you're keeping those audiences fed with the riffs and with the devastating plot twists.
Absolutely. No, it is. And I remember my old Nessa at one point, she said, this is just like, this is maybe month three. She was like, well, you know, and Nessa dies. And I was like, what do you mean she dies? She's like, well, she dies. And I was like, I'm like, welcome to the show, Jordan. But yeah, she gets killed. Like, she totally...
Literally murdered.
Yeah, the Wicked Witch of the East, her sister. Like, the house drops on her. And I'm like, that is totally who... Yeah, I was like, well, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, full circle sadness. Speaking of going full circle, Jordan, I want to ask you the famous podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Oh, whose fault? Okay. I'm going to probably have to blame, and I don't know if it's the group or the channel, but probably Fox Family, but S Club 7 in general is a big contributor to why I am the way I am.
What's the famous, there's no party like an S Club party.
S Club party. Yeah. S Club. S Club.
Wait, what's the Fox Family reference?
That was the channel that they were on, and then became ABC Family.
Oh, right. And Fox Family would Freeform or something.
And then now it's Freeform. Fox Family used to put on these S Club 7 specials, and then they would also air the show, of course. But they would put on these specials every now and then, and I would have my mom. We would have. I have VHSs. I don't know where they are now, but I would have them like set up when you could like get the VHS to record at a certain time. I was like, we're gonna be away, but you get it ready.
Oh my god.
I mean, I was, yeah.
What a throwback. I also love the visual of you just not knowing why you were doing this, but so meticulously obsessing over a literal gay ass girl boy group.
Girl and boy. Yeah, well, that's what.
Was it that you were culturally obsessed with the camp of the music, or were you in love with some of the members?
Is a little bit of both. My father was born in England, and I have a lot of British family in that way. So I think I used to have my British family members send me like magazines and things from England that they could only get. And I had my wall. This is like fourth and fifth grade. I had a wall in my bedroom full of S Club 7 posters, not NSYNC.
But you know what I think is so, I was talking about this recently, and there's like this tweet that's been going around about like when you're in your 30s, it's all about stripping away the things that we have done to make ourselves feel like we are normal and that we like are what society expects. And it's just going back to what weirdo you were as a kid. And I think that you, as a fourth grader, obsessing over S Club 7 and not thinking that there's anything weird about it, because there wasn't. But then, of course, it all pointed to that you were a gay-ass fucking kid. But, like, I also was obsessed. I actually was obsessed with NSYNC because I wanted to, you know, kiss every single... Well, I wanted to kiss... five of them. Eric, there were five. I wanted to kiss four.
That tracks.
Who was I? There's always, I feel like there's always one person in every boy band group that you're just like, it's a no for me, dog. I think Backstreet Boys for me, it was, wasn't there always a, what's the scary one with the goatee? Like the thin lined goatee.
I think it's Howie.
Howie,
is that his name?
I'm looking them up right now.
There were three guys in S Club 7, and I feel like I was never attracted to them, but I was always wanting to be like the girls in S Club 7.
Oh my God, yes.
I guess that's a lot of, it's like you are obsessed with Britney Spears because you wanted to like be her. So yeah, I was just enamored with, I remember Tina had these great braids on one of the concerts, and I was like, I love her hair so much. Like, what am I up to?
The first name drop, the first name drop of an S Club 7 member. I could not tell you a single one of their names.
I can name them.
Wait, do it. Name as many as you can.
Okay, so there's Joe, there's Rachel, there's Hannah, and then there's Tina, and then there's John, Bradley, and Paul. Yeah,
I feel like you're right now referring to the hairspray moment where it's like, I'm Penny.
Yeah.
It's all S Club 7 people.
Yeah, I need help.
Okay, someone asked me this recently, and it's because you have British roots.
Yeah.
Jordan Barrow, who is your favorite Spice Girl?
Oh, my favorite Spice Girl. Oh, I'm a baby Spicer. I am. I do love baby.
Baby Spicer through and through. Yeah. I think when I was asked this, I think I answered baby, but then I got sass for it. So I think I ended up saying Ginger, but then someone got mad at me because Ginger broke them apart, right?
Oh, she did, yeah. That was apparently her doing. But
cancel me. Ginger had big tits. And they got back together. Like, I feel like redheads get enough sass, and who am I to pile on? She had a gorgeous energy, a beautiful rack, and also wore a dress that was the full-on British flag. Sorry, I'm an Anglophile.
Or just gay.
And sometimes those are one and the same. I do wonder, there's been a lot of tension going around about the Dahmer show on Netflix. Are you a true crime girl?
I am. I took a class my freshman year at school on, it was a psych course. There was, and it was about serial killers. It was great. And we studied Mr. Dahmer.
Wow, you mish was before their time.
Well, it was a great class too. It was messy. We would watch lots of movies and read all these books about like getting into the mind of why these people do what they do.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is that the Dahmer, I've only watched a little bit because Matt's watching it, and I don't know if you've been reading, but people are pissed that basically they created the show and then it's re-traumatizing the people that were involved. And I obviously find that to be, I'm sure, incredibly true. But my question is, isn't this the 4,000th true crime inspired show? And why? Because the thing is, for an example, there's another one about a mom... Like
Sins of Our Mother. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so how is that any different? Why is it because Ryan Murphy has such a big platform? I'm just like, can you imagine you've gone through a very traumatic thing with your family, with a friend, whatever the fuck it is, and then you get an email from a producer. Hey, would you like to get dolled up and talk about this devastating part of your life? And then 6 months after you're interviewed about it, there are people on Twitter critiquing your haircut.
Right, yeah.
I just feel like
we've lost the plot.
It must be horrible forever. We've lost the plot. And I'm a part of the problem. I watch them. There's fucking huge podcasts about it. But I don't know what the answer is, Jordan, because what do we do? What do we do?
And with someone, I feel like with Dahmer, there was another thing about him just a couple of years ago. I feel like he gets brought up a lot. There are lots of things, but I think that's what there's always an angle with this case in particular, which is what I think people are upset about with the angle of like race, especially with his victims and queerness and But I do think that there is a lot of good in sharing these stories again.
Right. That's the thing. Isn't it like, isn't it good that we're actually getting some of the truth about how he was targeting people of color? But all, but then also people are angry that it's, that there's, it's being, I'm just, it's, I'm confused. I think it's probably all bad, yeah. But what, as a consumer, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'll just keep on watching the Great British Bake Show, whatever the fuck it's called. Like,
which I actually have never watched before. That seems to be unproblematic.
Jordan, know, oh my God. This, have you been seeing the pictures of the contestants
seen,
this year?
Yes, I have seen him, the one that this keeps being shared over and over and
Well, I didn't realize that he, so wait, I forget his name. He's like the beautiful, muscled British black man. British. Meet the bakers of the new season of the Great British Baking Show. So I am famously into multiple of the men on this show. There is James, who is the, I dare I say, Scottish gay hairy man. I'm contractually obligated to see chest hair poke out of a shirt, well, and then instantly thirst over it. And then the headliner is Sandro, who I did not know. He's not only like beautiful, he's a boxer, he's a full-time nanny, he's also gay. I don't know why. I just I mean, unless I'm wrong and I'm gonna get canceled, but I'm pretty sure someone I read online that he is gay, and so I'm like, wait, that changes everything. He could he looks like he would stuff me into a locker and then stuff me after that, like,
the
please
thickens. I did not know that. That tracks, I guess.
Well, I don't want to generalize, but he's a nanny. Yeah. How many muscled straight men are you gonna allow around your children?
That is not true. I feel like male straight nannies only exist on like television shows that are written, not reality shows. This Is Us, like how there's a plot point about how he plays like the manny.
Sure.
Is a straight man on the show,
but I think that's the only way it's going to be. Like, and yeah. I'm curious if anybody listening has children. Like, answer the poll. Would you hire a straight man to watch your children?
I'd like to hear it.
Have you seen? I want to quote that girl. Let's ask the audience. It's the server that there's someone that's trying to return their food at the restaurant, but they've eaten the entire thing.
Yes.
And they go, this food was bad. I kind of send it back. And it's like, she's being recorded. And I think she like shows the tray to the camera.
Camera. Yes.
Like, well, let's ask the audience. I feel like I obviously know there are some good straight men, and I don't want to cancel an entire demographic, but I don't think if like, hey, I'm Billy, can I watch your three kids? I'm going to say, Billy, get a job.
It gives me pause. That's all. Just pause.
Were you a babysitter?
No, I was not. And actually, no. I had.
Do you hate kids?
I don't hate kids at all. No.
So you agree. You hate kids. Agree.
No, I had them for sure. And a lot of them were great. Many of them I guess there's only two of them I know for sure that I'm still close with, but they.
Your babysitters?
Yeah, they. Because one of them was an older woman, and then her daughter started to watch us later on. And she was great. She introduced me to tons of music. Oh, yeah.
I think babysitters turn gay people gay. In fact, I need to write that down, because I would brush my babysitter's hair anytime she let me.
Well, and of course she enjoyed it. Like, it feels good.
I wonder, like a 7-year-old who's like getting the brush caught and I'm like tearing it. I'm like trying to learn how to be a hairstylist. I hope she likes it. I hope she's doing well. Although I did have another therapist who, if I may be candid, was a fucking bitch.
Well,
I think 99% of babysitters are doing the Lord's work, and even if they're like 15, they're still like patient and doing and putting up with annoying kids. However, this babysitter worked for my dad. My dad owns a pharmacy, and so she like, I don't know what she did at the pharmacy, but she also babysat us sometimes. She was beautiful. I just remember like always had her hair tied back really tight, wore very chesty shirts.
Wow.
And she was obsessed with skincare, which again, go off, we love. But she was teaching me, an 8-year-old, not to rub my eyes because it would give me wrinkles. I said, sweetheart, I've got enough collagen to last the next 2 decades. Get off my fucking jock. And every time I rub my eyes now, I think of Jamie.
Oh, God. I had a babysitter named Jamie, too.
And there you go.
It's the name, but yeah, that's it's a bit extra. But I mean, that's a defining moment. That could, you know, some children would not recover
from
that.
Core memory, as they say. I never did. I also remember, like, the second she said that, the camera panned over and I saw a bunch of Slim Fast, and I was like, I'm going to buy that. I, like, immediately was like...
Spiral. It was quick.
Insecure about every part of my body, and I'm fully less than double digits. But to all the good babysitters, we love you.
Yeah, we support you, and thank you for your service. My goodness. Yeah, we had so many growing up. Both my parents worked, so we definitely were babysat.
And we love being sad.
Good night.
I really did not mean that in a gross way. Good night. Can I ask you another famous podcast question?
Okay.
If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Jordan, who would you save?
Loretta Devine.
Wait, someone said that recently.
Really?
What a great answer.
I love to hear it. Yes. Yeah. That is... I adore that woman. Anything she's in, I will play. She's always going to be good. She's always going to be great. I mean, it's...
And wasn't she recently on... she was also on Celebrity Drag Race recently. Did you see that?
I did not. I have not watched... Drag Race is... I had to take a break.
Too many.
I watched all the, like, American seasons. I watched All Stars and stuff. But I'm not up to date on Celebrity because it's just... It was too many. I need a break.
And also in international, I love to be a global girl, but I just like, now we're doing what? Drag Race Holland? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Nine, bitch. Nine for now, bitch. I don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, it's just busy. It's great. I love that it's such a phenomenon, but I need rest. I need rest. So that's really all that comes down to.
Well, especially when you, like we're talking about, you're doing almost 300 shows of Wicked the Musical. You have Mondays off. Is that correct?
We do. Yes. In the summer, we had Sunday off, which was kind of cute. But right now, we're on Mondays off. So,
okay. Walk me through your perfect day off from your grueling schedule. Are we doing skincare? Are we going absolutely off, spending more money than we should at a restaurant? What are we doing?
Okay. So I sort of had... Yesterday-ish was sort of this way. For one, since my boyfriend is a teacher, it would be a day that he had off also. That is helpful. Mm-hmm. And it starts with probably like a brunch, waking up late, brunch, maybe a drunch. Maybe, you know, maybe there's booze involved at this.
Are you a mimosa girl?
I am. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. I believe in mimosas. and then it probably would involve... an amusement park, in case we're not too drunk from, you know, that. And maybe, like, a movie and settling into the evening with, like, face mask, like you said.
Definitely some face masking. Wait, so you're a theme park girl.
Oh, big time. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you know Matt went to Gay Night at Six Flags here like a week or two ago?
That's a good Six Flags.
I mean, I didn't go because the weather was horrible and I just needed a break. But he went and had... There were like no lines and he had the time of his life. But I will say, I think it hits differently when you are in your 30s. And I do mean hits differently.
It hits, yeah.
I do think our bodies are not as limber as they once were.
We went to Six Flags last year and we did almost everything that we could do in the span of like 8 hours. And it was pretty empty because it was still COVID precautions. So they weren't overselling the park. And I remember we were after like ride four, we were like, oh, it's good that we can get on things very quickly, but we need breaks in between.
Well, I'm sure you're Googling chiropractors while you were waiting for Batman. Yeah. I literally sat on a swing set recently and got a headache. I just like, there's, I think I'm,
you just felt it coming.
I'm losing my edge. You know what I more am into instead of the theme parks these days? I went to my first Korean spa the other day.
I love a spa.
Oh my God, Jordan. It was my birthday and it was like the middle of the week. I had nothing to, I was like, I want to treat myself. I don't want to sit at home. And so I had coffee with a dear friend of the podcast, Zach Noe Towers, hilarious comedian. We had a great time. And then I went to this Korean spa very close to me. I was in there for like 3.5 hours. It was unbelievable. And surprising. So yes. I said to Matt, I was like, Matt, what if I see anything controversial? He says, right. Eric, you're going to a Korean spa at 2:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. You're not going to see anything.
It's going to be boring. Yeah.
Jordan.
But it'll be, well, did you see something? No.
Yeah. The second I walk in, let me just say, there are showers right when you walk in, and I saw a bouncing elbow is all I'm going to say.
Oh, my.
To which I said, oh, there is okay. something that's going to happen on a Wednesday afternoon. And listen, it really, that was just like the universe throwing me a literal bone. But yeah. I will say that it did get much more tame after that. But still, it's, listen, if you put, I feel like it's like almost like to our basest instinct as human beings. If it reminds me of Greek
wow.
baths. Mm-hmm. Roman baths?
Roman. Yeah, Roman.
Like, wasn't there like all sorts of gay sex happening in those, even
yeah,
though it wasn't
it
like.
Was extremely gay. Yeah.
Right. And like the fucking like bottoms that were just servicing the, whatever. And I feel like when you put men gay by, I mean, probably not straight, but like everyone's on a scale. Like if you put them in a naked, hot room.
Things are going to. Yeah. It's
something
facts are
is
going to
happen.
Yeah.
Facts are facts, America.
I've actually never been to one of those types okay. of spas.
Well, there's in New York, I know there's, what the fuck is it? It's like the famous,
Steamworks is one of them. Is that,
that might
be in New
like,
York
that's
too.
That's like the gay, that's like
that. Yeah, that's where, but there's like the Sojo spa that's in New Jersey. You're probably not going to see anything like that there, but also maybe your listeners will know more than I do. Maybe there is something to Sojo spa.
I mean, if anybody has had a nasty Jersey spa moment, there's like a famous, Spa Castle.
Yes.
And yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I do remember Matt telling me he went to Spa Castle for like a bachelorette party or something, and not only were there a lot of like children running around and screaming, but like week prior it had been closed down because why, Jordan? A dead body was found at the bottom of a pool. To which I say, I heart New York. It's such a New York story that they. I mean, how devastating! But like,
I actually have a funny spa sort of tie-in with this. This was definitely the group of people to share this with. Mm-hmm. In my home of New Jersey, yes, I'm a Jersey boy, there was a spa that was above the Rita's. There was a Rita's Italian Ice like a mile from my home that we would go to, and there was a dance studio nearby. It was all in this like very suburban mm-hmm. shopping center. And the spa got raided because men were going up in there, and it was not a spa. It was a brothel. And it was a massage parlor spa-esque thing from the outside, but you would only see men going in and coming out, and they got raided. And was it a
brothel where like there was like a bunch of women up there that were?
Yeah, it was women. Yeah. Doing things that were not massages. Well, maybe massages and then.
Like, yeah, we're not gonna censor these. I will say that there's probably not many gay brothels because men are just so willing to have sex and not pay for it.
And they don't need to. We live in very different times, I would say, for sure.
I would say so. I mean, I feel like, let's see, a gay brothel. First of all, it would have a very campy name. The interior design, it would be run so well, but I think it'd be expensive.
Yeah, there's no market. There's no market.
I feel like anything related to gay people is just like the highest of quality. Like we love West Elm. So I feel like when we would be paying for sex, we'd probably be. I mean, here am I saying like there's no brothels. I know there's like massage websites
for sure.
where you can purchase a massage or whatever. But from what I've heard, and I actually haven't done it, but I definitely have perused. It doesn't seem cheap.
No, and does not at all. Well, right. And I do wonder, like, wow, these people must be really cleaning up. cleaning up.
I mean, I hope they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's the oldest profession, as they say. And whoever's living that journey, I wish them dollar signs upon dollar signs. You also... I've been tweeting a lot about Beyonce's new album, and I find that to be very important journalism.
The only dollar signs, the only double lines we cross are dollar signs, yes, on the topic of dollars.
Do you think Renaissance is top three of her albums?
Yeah, yeah. It's top two, and I don't know if it's number two. And that I know is crazy to say, but I don't know. Because Four is up there as one of my favorites. And I think like Self-Titled is up there. But this this album...
It was built for us.
Yeah, with us in mind. And it's almost rude how just how much I can't get away from it. I can't.
Yes. Even if you want to, you can't. I have to tell you a memory I'm just having at the fucking sauna I was at. So I go into the actual like hot sauna room, minding my own. And as I walk in, it's randomly full of like eight people. Like, and usually there's only like two or three. It's like a pretty calm day when I would ever walk into a space. So I'm like, oh my God, am I walking into something controversial? And Jordan, I was. There was nothing sexual. What was happening was a debate about a certain singer. And I was like, who are they talking about? One guy was saying, she's just not as good as people say. And I was like, who are we talking about? I come to find out that this person was saying that Solange, he feels, is better than Beyonce. And that Beyonce is overrated. The other people in the room were, of course, aggressively disagreeing.
Yes.
And I was on their side. But then this guy who was a short, hairy white man was saying that Beyonce is not the full package because she doesn't do interviews like the other icons do. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't like whatever have that. And then he used the word brainless, referring to Beyonce.
Oh, dear.
Then there was a Hispanic guy over here that was like, I don't think it's okay that a white man is saying a woman of color is brainless. And then the white guy was like, well, I'm not. It's not. It's, no, I'm also. Right. He's like, but I'm also like, you know, I'm Jewish and boo, 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 boo. And I'm like, okay, you are now not representing my people and you're putting us back a few centuries. However, he then says, and he also was like bald and sort of extreme looking. And he was like, I mean, I know like I look like a Nazi. And if I was like, you know, having a passionate conversation, I was talking to a black man, it wouldn't look very good. And then I was like, okay, now how far we've strayed from the light. And then there was a black guy that was in the corner and he said, well, what would it look like if you were too fucking? And then the white guy said, I forget what he was like, well, I don't know. Maybe that would be better. And then the black guy was like, well, that would look really hot. And I was like, okay, now I'm confused.
What's happening? Is this, it sounds like a really, really poorly written porno.
It really does. And I'm like, all lines lead to people talking about fucking. But also, he did get canceled by the room by saying that Beyonce was brainless. And I think he got his ass handed. And that was not what I wanted on my birthday.
No, and I'm so sorry that happened on your birthday. You deserve to be
And as a Virgo,
your groove.
Really was. I mean, it's not what I expected at a Korean spa on a Wednesday afternoon, that's for sure.
And it's not a conversation I'm willing to even have anymore, because who is creating albums almost 30 years into their career that are making people lose their ever-loving minds in this way? Like, please, have a seat. I'll debate other things about her, but I won't debate that.
I mean, I'm wondering, like, what is there to debate? Do you think that she and Jay-Z are happy?
I do. I think that they obviously have an arrangement of sorts that works for them. I definitely see happiness as far as I can tell, especially with the children seem very, very pleased. Not to get too deep into anything here, because obviously I don't know much, but a friend of mine used to babysit a child that was in Blue Ivy's class and said that Blue Ivy seemed very, very happy as a human, and that her parents dropped her off at school almost every day.
Oh, so, my God. You know what I mean?
Like,
so
I sense happiness. I do.
Jordan, a degree away from Beyonce. Yeah.
I wish.
Oh, my God. I mean, you heard it here first, folks. Blue Ivy is happy. That's the name of the episode. I'm kidding. Can you imagine? Jordan, before we sign off on this stunning conversation, I want to ask you a question I did not prep you for, which is, Jordan, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
The best Whoopi Goldberg film? Oh, okay. Color Purple. It's Color Purple. I know that, and that's not, you know, it's probably not the Whoopi that maybe some people are coming to get, but some are.
And boy, some aren't. Also, yeah. The Academy was listening, and for good reason. Yeah.
And I'm quite excited about this movie musical remake. I know maybe that's, I loved the musical in general. So
oh my God.
I'm about it.
I cannot. And isn't Cynthia Erivo is doing the movie, right?
No, she is not. Fantasia is doing the movie.
Oh, I forgot. Oh my God,
Cynthia's
Fantasia.
Busy alphabeting.
You're right. Doing
filming
her
two Wicked films.
Her two Wicked films that are coming out in what, a year from now? I'm just like,
a year and then another year. I was like, okay, all right.
Wait, was the theater all abuzz when they announced that the gay guy as Fiero?
Yes, it was. Yes, the answer is yes. The gays especially were like, I can't believe it. I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, absolutely.
He's from what, Bridgerton?
Bridgerton, yeah.
Yeah. I never watched it, which like...
I'm with you. I did two episodes and I said, you know, I watch a lot. And I was like, but you be well, everyone. Have that.
Okay, well now, it's not every day I get to talk to not only a dear friend, but who's also in Wicked on Broadway. Do you, okay, so the casting is coming out for the Wicked movie. Do you have a fantasy of who is playing Madame Horrible? Are they going to do stunt casting?
I'm assuming a little bit stunty. I know Cheryl Lee Ralph is busy. She did it on Broadway.
I was just going to say that she did it on Broadway and that, but she's it's too much Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, she's very busy over there, and rightfully so, and earning all that she should. But mm-hmm. That would be one of, I would love to see almost like even Lisa Kudrow, I think would be really funny and fun.
Oh my God. Yes.
Jennifer Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
I think, not to jinx it, but I do think that they would have to try to mess up that casting because there could be so many great angles to that role.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, the only way to mess it up is to cast someone boring, and I don't think they're going to do
that.
They're
not going to do that, no.
They're not going to do that.
They seem to have a good handle on this. I'm quite excited to see it. I think it'll be done well from the rumors I've heard and whatnot. So
yeah.
We shall see.
Before I ask you where people can find you, how long do you have a set contract for Wicked, or are you open-ended?
I do have a set contract. I can't share what I'm officially finishing, but gotcha. I am around for a bit longer. So,
oh, good. Yes. So if you are in New York City, go see Jordan as Bach in Wicked the Musical, fucking like iconic musical. Jordan, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter at JordanT_B. And then I've got a website too, you know, I'm updating that and I'm on TikTok. My TikTok is not as busy as it could be, but I've got some of my pinned viral ones, you know.
Yes. And as someone who has firsthand seen Jordan's videos, the Whitney Brandy Cinderella breakdown.
About it.
Important journalism. Jordan, thank you so much for coming on That's a Gay Ass podcast. As iconic as I wanted you to
thank
be.
Thank you for
even
having
more so.
Me. Yes, and as a means, if not just to hang out under the guise of a podcast, too. Like, I
hello.
Like
if you enjoyed this episode with Jordan Barrow, my Broadway baby, leave us a 5-star review. It kind of triggers the algorithm to keep showing this podcast to other people. And I'm so excited with how it's grown. But, you know, we're trying to take over the fucking world. Also, send it to a friend if you think that is something that they would like. And if you want to request any guests for future episodes, DM me. I'm on Instagram at Eric Wills, or go to the Gay Ass Podcast, Instagram at Gay Ass Podcast. It's the end of September. I can't wait for a spooky, ooky fall. And we'll see you next week.